Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg and David Holly. In this special episode, we will discuss the results of a recent Viva El Foam poll done by Mike, which looks at which players you want to stay at Foam and which should go after the season ends. The results are very interesting. I look forward to discussing them in this show with my two co-hosts. Before we do anything, I have to welcome them both back to the show. First, Mr. Holly, how you doing?
Hello. Still bunged up, I'm afraid, but thanks for the invite to come and discuss this fascinating subject.
It is fascinating, David. I really look forward to going through it with the two of you. And I want to thank Mike, before I go to Mike, for putting together this poll. And I find it fascinating. 251 people took part in this poll. So we have a nice sampling that we could really talk about. And Mike, I'm just going to go over to you. First of all, welcome back to the show. And just talk about this poll that you put together yesterday.
Yeah, hi, Russ. Hi, David. Yeah, it's good to do a show at very short notice, the survey came out of really out of Saturday's game, because there was a lot of discussions afterward. Obviously, we'd lost and all unhappy and people mentioning things. And I sort of looked at the team, then I looked at the squad and realised out of the match day squad, there were 11 players who technically don't have a contract with the club next year, which, is a high proportion. People are talking about, oh, we're going to have massive changes to the squad next year and get rid of a load. Well, I think, just looking at that number shows already the amount of work that's going to have to be done during the summer. And so there was a couple of conversations online about who should stay, who should go. So I thought yesterday, around midday-ish, I put a poll up. I closed it about 8 o'clock last night, and we had 250 people on a Sunday afternoon with nothing much else to do but take part in one of my silly polls. But actually, the results, while I don't think there's anything majorly shocking from it, there's some interesting numbers, and as you say, 250 is a good sample.
It sure is, Mike. It sure is, and there are four parts to this poll. We're going to go through each one of them. Before we get going, why don't we start with, obviously, the first part. Do you want to talk a little bit about the first part, Mike, before we get going?
Yeah, so what I did was I went through all the players and all the contracts that they got and split it into the four questions that we're going to go through. So the first one was starting with the players who have contracts beyond this season. So they have contracts for the summer of next year, 2017, up to, well, with Ross, it's 2020. But so the simple question was, do you keep them or list them to sell? Because you're not going to release any on a free. It's either
right.
You keep them for the season as part of your squad or you sell them. And I think there's, without counting every one of them, I think there's about 17, 18 first-team players. The rules I used for listing these players are what I considered the first team squad. So I never included people from the under-21s who haven't really kicked the ball for us in the first team. So like Jordan Evans, his contract is up in the summer, but no point including him. Do you want me to go through the results, the top part of the results first, Russ?
Yes, go through the top half of the results, the ones that are obviously very positive.
Yeah, so, the real usual suspects, Kearney, McCormick, Bettinelli, Christensen, Tunnicliffe, Frederick, Williams, Lonergan, Woodrow and Grimmer, they all got 80% plus, Kearney, McCormick, almost 100, one or two might have just been playing the game on the survey and saying, no, not keep them. But, when you're getting 80% of this sample saying we want these players next year, then that's a substantial majority there. And one of the things that's highlighted really is the youngsters. We still want to keep the Fulham lads, people like, Jack Grimmer, George Williams, who's out on loan and we really haven't seen him. and Christensen and Bettinelli. So you know, they're still hardcore there of players you want to keep.
You know what? It's funny, Mike. The first thing I was going to mention to you was what you just talked about, the young players standing out. I was very happy to see that George, who I'm very high on, was at 87.25%. You mentioned Jack Rimmer. He's at 80.8%. Then, of course, LVC's at 95.22%. And Betts, he's at 96.81%. So you really see that the Fulham supporters are looking at these young players.
Well, the thing is, as well, they've got these contracts, you know, for another year or two, and you know, they're willing to give them, a continuing chance. I mean, you know, you look further down, and Kavanagh's only got 16% who want to keep him. So, you know, there's not a total bias against the youngsters. You know, we've seen enough of these players, I think, to either decide yes, we think they can offer something next year, or no, let's move them on. It's time to look elsewhere.
Okay, very good. David, what are your thoughts about the first part of these results?
Well, some of them, yeah, I think you expect Kearney, McCormack, people like that to be there. I think it's when you get towards the bottom of this top group. I don't know. I didn't expect maybe someone like Corley Woodrow to be as definite as that. I thought there might be a bit more sort of, you know, indecision over someone like Corley, because I know he's, obviously, he's got some people who are not big fans of his. He's never really had a regular run in the team. Questions about whether he's, you know, good enough to be a regular. And I'm just thinking that with the way things are going, you know, Matt Smith's not even getting a look in at the moment. So I wondered if, Slavish is looking maybe to enhance us in that department in the future. So although I'm not saying that Corley should go, I wasn't sure if he'd be as high as that. People like him, most certainly. Lonergan as well is an interesting one to debate over, because I think as a number two, he's been great. So if we're keeping him on the basis as a number two, I would say that's fine, because you will struggle to find a good number two keeper. It's always that hard balance, isn't it, to get a goalkeeper who's good enough to come in if you need him, but is happy to sit on the bench, potentially. I think, you know, the voting gives me the impression that everyone wants Bettinelli to be first choice, or it gives that suggestion, doesn't it, that Bettinelli being higher than Lonergan suggests to me that, yeah, Bettinelli is everyone's sort of first choice, or the majority of people's first choice when he gets back, and that could be quite soon. But no real surprises, I think, in there. It's good to see. I suppose Williams is an interesting one as well, because he's never really had much of a run in the team. We've never seen him play that many games. It's all, you know, potential really with him. Until he's had a regular run in the team, it's difficult to judge on how well it's going to be. And it depends on the system that Slavisa ultimately deploys. You know, we've had a bit of a run now with three at the back. We look like we may be going that way, though. Maybe not with injuries and suspensions next game, I don't know. But with a three-at-the-back system, it does give less opportunity for people like George Williams. So it could be quite interesting there as well. But no real shocks anyway from that first group of players.
Okay, very good there. And, Mike, I'm going to go right back to you, because we were talking off-air right before we were going live, that there are two players in this poll that were, I wouldn't say surprising, but that are pretty much in the middle. We're talking about Fernando Amorebieta at 56.97% and Tim Ream at 51.39%. What are your thoughts about their place in this poll?
Yeah, so in this particular question, these are the two players who have pretty much split the fan base. Certainly on Amberetta, it reflects what you hear and see at the ground and in other forums and on Twitter. You know, you either, Amberetta really is, you either like him or you don't like him. And I think if I'd asked this question a month ago, then the vast majority would not have wanted him. But, you know, he's come back and I wouldn't say he's won me over, but he's certainly, you know, done better than he's done previously. So, yes, it was silly sending off last week, but I think it's also, you know, you compare it to the other centre-backs that we have, and, you know, it's are you going to keep Spearman or would you have Ambrosetti? He's just above Ream. So, yeah, it was an interesting one with him. I mean, Ream, I like Ream. You know, he's a good footballer, and he hasn't, I don't think he's been as bad as Spearman at times, but he's a different kind of centre-back, and maybe he would have been a better, you know, it's obvious saying it now, but maybe he would have been a better selection on Saturday, you know, a left-sided player for a left-sided player instead of all the changes that we had at the back. But, you know, I think Ream still has an awful lot to offer, and he has got an awful long contract as well. So, you know, I think he will be with us next year for sure.
I totally agree with that. They've invested in him. So I think obviously when they brought him in, they had long-term plans for him. David, what are your thoughts about Amorebieta and Ream pretty much being right in the middle of this poll?
Yeah, Mike's totally right about the timing of this. Before the transfer window, you know, we'd written Amorebieta off, really. You know, we didn't expect to see him back. We certainly didn't think he'd have a part to play this season. But he's not only has he come back, he's been back in the team. And, you know, as maybe especially as part of a three at the back, he seems to function pretty well. I mean, it's the same kind of snapshot thing when we get lower down and we talk about people like Spearman. I guess Spearman's vote will be a reflection on what we saw at the weekend as well, partially, as well as, you know, everything else. But no, I mean, it's a difficult choice because Amorebieta and Ream, in a way, they're almost the same player. Although they're really quite a different player as well, but they're both someone who can play centre back potentially or left back. Except that Amorebieta, you know, he's pretty strong and he's strong in the air, but he's not so good on the ground. Well, saying that, he's got a really good left foot, and when we've seen him whip crosses in occasionally, he's put some really good crosses in, surprisingly. Ream, not so strong, not so good in the air, but definitely a better footballer on the ground, certainly short pass wise. Well, I agree with Mike completely. I mean, it's hindsight is a wonderful thing, but I'm not sure what possessed Slavisa now to bring Spearman in at the weekend. It really should have been Ream, I think, if he was fit, because it would have been a much better swap, I think, for Amorebieta. Although they're not the same strengths as a player, they would fit that role better. It would have saved all that carnage. But I think out of these two, I don't know if long-term the view would be to keep one and get rid of the other. Is there room for both of them in the squad? I'm not sure. Obviously, Ream has come in. You know, he's the great white hope, wasn't he? He signed from Bolton, you know, as part of the answer to shore up our leaky defence, and it didn't really make any difference along with Stearman. So he's found himself sidelined. He obviously hasn't impressed Slavisa too much. Perhaps Slavisa likes, you know, more outwardly robust defenders like Amorebieta appear to be. And Slavisa would rather take the odd yellow or red card than perhaps a defender that he feels isn't strong enough for this physical league. But, you know, it's easy to see why these guys are both in the middle and split opinion, because you could go either way with them. Certainly Amorebieta, a few weeks ago or so, I would have expected him to be further down the line. Ream, well, he's not been here that long, but already, you know, it's a very, very mixed opinion about him from the Fulham fans.
No, definitely there, David. And that's why both of these players are right in the middle, you know, because it's mixed. You know, you're right, pretty much right down the middle with both of these. And, Mike, I'm going to go to you. Let's talk about the players that are on the other side of this that I guess you could say are – that the fans are basically more thinking about listing them to sell. But I'm going to list their percentages as wanting them to stay. So I'll just go down the list. We're talking about Smith, Matilla, Stearman, Richards, Mitroglou, Pringle, Kavanaugh, Stuckenberg, and Bodaroff. That's the list of players. If you go to Matt Smith, he's at the highest at 36.65%, followed by, like I said, Matilla. Stearman is only at 28.29%. I even look at someone like Pringle at 23.9%. Mike, when I was looking at the list and I was thinking about some of these players on the list, the two major disappointments for me when we got them, I was high on both of these players, is Richard Stearman and Ben Pringle. So obviously the fans are disappointed as I am.
Yeah, you certainly look at, I mean, it is a dramatic drop, isn't it? It's, you know, three quarters of the fans don't want any of these players pretty much. And, you know, Smith, maybe that's a lot of fans just, you know, just accepting that, you know, Jokanović doesn't fancy him and, yeah, let's sell him. I mean, he is still on a contract next year, and this is what this question is about. So, you know, let's see if we can move him on, make space. Matilla, you know, he's had a couple of run-outs. I'll be honest, the last two times I've seen him play, he's been very, very poor. I don't think he's quite good enough. Stearman's been a massive letdown. And my running sort of thing about him is the Forest away game. Less said, the better. The two names, really, you know, the two big loanees, Steckenberg and Mitroglou. I mean, you know, you get some people saying, you know, Mitroglou should come back next year and play for us. But the fact is, these two guys, they don't want to play for Fulham, certainly in the Championship. And, you know, I'm not going to go into personalities, but Steckenberg, I don't think, is that welcome back. And, you know, Mitroglou, if we can get some money, then we can use that to reinvest elsewhere. And I think, certainly when I did this poll, I mean, whether people think about it that way, is, you know, yeah, let's sell him, let's get 7 or 8 million or whatever they're going to pay, and get two players for that kind of money. So, you know, and Pringle, pretty much everyone's made their mind up on him. I've not given up on him, I have to be honest. And he's at Ipswich, he's playing probably the role he should play, which is in a midfield three just inside. We all expected a winger, or we all wanted a winger, and unfortunately he is not that. And I think that's, you know, that's what people wanted. And I think they're more disappointed in him because he's not a winger rather than some of his performances. Kavanagh, time to move on, the poor lad. I mean, he's not going to win the Fulham fans over. So try and find a club for him. And Bodroff got 0.8%, which I think was one or two votes. And I'm pretty sure he must follow me on Twitter, because last time I did a poll, Bodroff got one vote. So I think he votes for himself anyway.
Oh, boy. Very interesting. This group of players, very interesting. I'm glad that you pointed out the players on loan. And I agree with you, Mike, when we talk about Mitroglou. We need to cash in there and reinvest that money. And then, of course, you've got Steckenberg, who's at Southampton, but he's not going to play anymore now that Fraser Forster's back. So very interesting on both those. And, of course, Pringle is one that I was very excited to see him come, but you brought up a very good point there, Mike. He was never a winger. We wanted him to be something he wasn't. And I think that's part of the disappointment. That's not his fault. That's not who he is. And maybe he's being used in a better role at Ipswich Town. All right, David, over to you. What stands out to you from these group of players?
Well, I have a theory about Bodroff, actually. I think it's probably our friend Yavor Alexei that's given that vote there, I think. Would you not say Mike? Someone's got to like him anyway. I was shocked to see Bodroff at the bottom. I would have expected probably to see Steckenberg, Mitroglou, Kavanagh down there, actually. The trouble with Bodroff is he hasn't played at all this season. We don't actually know how well he would or wouldn't do in this kind of revitalised team. You almost think, you know, he might have perceivably this kind of Eastern European grit that maybe Slav likes, you know, the same sort of way that he's brought Amo Bieta back in from the cold, because he's a sort of a rough and ready kind of player, and Bodroff's a bit like that as well. So maybe a little bit surprised that he didn't get a chance under Slav, but not surprising that he is in the lower half, because the perception is that he's not good enough and that's why he's not here. Again, no real surprises in there. Steckenberg, again, doesn't seem to be a coincidence that since Fraser Forster's back for Southampton have been on a bit of a run, apparently. They've been conceding less, and I don't think Steckenberg is that popular at Southampton either. So that, unfortunately, matches up with how he's not very popular at Fulham. So, yeah, if we can get anything for him, for Mitroglou, likewise, Kavanagh, I agree. I don't think he's going to make it for me, Kavanagh. I've never really been struck on him, I must admit, but and I have seen nothing to change that either. Again, you know, Stearman and Ream, if you remember, I wasn't struck on them from the start either, Russ. And again, I think Ream has impressed me slightly more than Stearman. But I do think Stearman's low vote there is partly influenced by what happened at the weekend. Had he come in, done a good job, perhaps if we got a result against Middlesbrough, I think that would have been slightly different there. Matilda's big disappointment, but I can understand why he's there. Smith is the best of the bad bunch, obviously. Because, you know, we've seen that on occasions he's scored some good goals for us. And he's got a bit of link-up play with McCormack, so he's always an option there. So I would be minded to keep Smith, as he's under a contract anyway. And we're not likely to get a lot of money for him. So I think we should keep him on the basis that, you know, he does offer something different as a plan B, and that he has this sort of link-up play with McCormack that could work quite well. So, yeah, Smith, maybe, you know, he's the best of the bad bunch, as we say. Of course, we haven't mentioned our friend Jazz Richards, but no surprise, he's in the bottom half either, of course. Pringle, likewise, with what Mike said, I'm not giving up on him completely, but I'm not sure if there'll be a place for him to fit in the system. You know, perhaps if he'd have played on Saturday instead of Tunnicliffe in that strange position as one of a three in centre midfield, it might have actually worked for him better with the support of Baird and Parker alongside him. But who knows what's going to happen. But he's done OK so far for Ipswich, so he's got to have something going for him, hasn't he?
Yes, no, very good there, Dave. Very interesting take on all these. And guys, let's move on to the second part. And Mike, I'll let you share the results. The second part of your poll was Hutchinson has an option to extend this summer. Do you take it up? Mike, very interesting results here. Share them with us, please.
Yeah, can I just come back on Richards though? Just want to
sure,
make
absolutely,
a comment.
Man.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, it's because. I posted the results on Friends of Fulham, and somebody said that, you know, it's biased towards the youngsters, and, you know, Grimmer, you know, is beating Richards, this kind of thing. But, you know, when you look at it, next season, you know, Jack's out on loan. You've got Fredericks, who we've had a good look at now, who, you know, is not perfect, but certainly gives us some options. And then you have Richards. So if you're looking for a balanced squad, you do not want three right-backs. Between them, they're aged 22, 24 and 25. Richards has played just over 100 games. I mean, he's 25 in April and he's played 100 games. No, really. And Fredericks has played about 60-odd and Grimm has played about 50-odd. These are first team games on loan at various places or, you know, the teams they were signed for. So, you know, when you're looking at a balance of a squad, you've got to let one of them move on, and you know, I totally agree with the results there on Richard. So I just wanted to clarify where some people, you know, their choices might be that they're making, and for the right back position, I think, you know, that's the correct way to look at it.
No, I totally agree with you, Mike. You know, if we're moving forward, I think you keep two, and I agree with both of you on which one should go. I agree with the fans. We're all pretty much in agreement there. All right, Mike, let's go on to the second topic here.
Yes, so question two. Well, Hutchinson is the only player in the squad, the first of the top players, who has an option to extend. Now, I don't know whether that's our option, his option, or whether it was if he played so many games, I don't know. But so the question was, Hutchinson has an option to extend this summer. Do you take it up? And instead of a yes and no, I had yes. Then I had no release on a free. And then a third option, which is take up the option and put on a transfer list to sell. So it was a bit similar to the Ruiz situation where, yeah, let's extend him, but we know we're going to get rid of him anyway. But and less than 20% wanted to keep him, and then 40-odd percent said no, just release him. And then 38 said, no, let's keep him, but, yeah, let's sell him anyway. So, you know, you got to wonder how much money you would get for him anyway. I think if he's not going to be part of the plans, I really do. I know we made money from the Ruiz deal, but I still felt a bit uncomfortable about extending the option of a player just to get some money. And I think if he's not in your plans, his contract's finished, you let him go, and that would be my option.
Okay, very good, Mike. And it's funny because while you're talking about this, I'm thinking about the situation. And you mentioned when we were going through the young players on that show that we did with Frankie Taylor that you would be very comfortable with Aaron Davis stepping up at this point. Is he ready for that? Would you be in favor of him stepping up a level and letting go someone like Sean Hutchinson?
Well, I think you have to, again, you've got to look at the balance of all the players we have. I mean, at the moment, you know, contracted, we've just gone through the list there. So you've got Ream, Amberetta, you've got, Stearman as well. We'll get on to Byrne later. And then you've got Hutchinson as well. You don't need 5-6 centre-backs. Now, Davis, as we said in the show last week, I don't think there's anyone coming through, and I might touch on that a bit later. I don't see anyone here next year. But that's not to say if Davis suddenly, you know, improves dramatically, gets a chance, that at the age of 18 he's going to be able to do it. I don't think he will be ready, but you just never know. But, you know, he should be, if he's going to be 21, if he's going to be in the under-21s next year, he should be the 5th, 6th choice centre back, and so
right,
really, and so Hutchinson, unfortunately, you know, he has his good points, but you know, I think we're all clear now. You know, the centre back position is absolutely key going forward next year, and if anything, it's the most important position for Jokanović to get right. He's got to sort out that back three or back two, you know, two centre backs, and who he's going to use. So Hutchinson for me doesn't fit into that. Picture, and you have to. The easiest thing is, do you think you could be a playoff team with Hutchinson in your side? And I have to say, no, I don't think so.
Okay, very interesting, and that's why I wanted to ask you about Davis, because if I'm reading correctly from what you're saying, Mike, you see him as expendable and as a fifth, someone that's not quite ready for first team football, but could be in the mix. You'd feel comfortable with Davis, and that would allow Jokanović to move on from Hutchinson and then concentrate on the four, finding the right four. You know, obviously, two starting center backs and two others to back them up.
Right, yeah.
But you would have someone in the wings. Is where I'm going on that, Mike.
Well, yeah. I said in the show last week that Bodroff played in an under-21 game. He went off sub after 20 minutes and Davis came on for him. And I said, you know, the defence improved just by him coming on the pitch and replacing Bodroff. So it shows where he would be in the pecking order, really, of the centre-backs
right. That
he had. You know, I mean, if you can have 3 centre-backs next year, let's say you started with Amberetta. Let's say you went with Amberetta, Byrne, Medel, yeah? Let's say he signed all of them up and those were his 3 centre-backs. You need another one, if not two, experienced ones, shall we say. Certainly one, you know, or utility player. Let's say you had Baird. And then you're looking at Davis. You know, he's going to be your 5th or 6th choice, really, if you're going to have those kind of that kind of squad. But Hutchinson, for me, like I say, wouldn't be one of them, and nor would Bodroff, really.
Okay, very good, and I actually agree with you, especially on Bodroff. And it's funny, because while we were talking about it, I was treating it like a back two, but obviously Fulham have been playing with a back three, so that makes things a little bit different. And I want them to play with a back three, so maybe you would potentially need not just one but two backups because of the importance you would have if you're going to go a decent amount of the time with a back three. All right, David, over to you. Your thoughts on Sean Hutchinson?
There was a very interesting tweet that Mike and I saw the other day. I'm not sure if you saw it, Russ, but it purported to be the player's salary at Fulham for last season. It was probably a complete load of rubbish. I think Mike said that, but it was interesting reading, if not for just the entertainment value. But according to that, Brian Ruiz earns zillions and Sean Hutchinson's on nothing by comparison. And so the question I would say, well, if we're looking to get rid of maybe Stearman, as we've said, and Bodroff, I would put it to you that they're both on substantially higher wages than Sean Hutchinson. So keeping Hutchinson as a reserve on much less wages could actually be a financial option, of course. And I don't think you could argue against me if I said that they're all much of a muchness, maybe. Well, obviously, your Bodiroff doesn't seem to be very much in favour. But when it comes to Hutchison and Stearman, I think it's a pretty much, you know, a straight swap between who's better out of the two, really. You know, some would say Stearman, some would say Hutchison. But I would suggest that Stearman will be a lot easier to sell, as he's got, you know, much more experience and has played at this level. Bodiroff probably likely as well. But I reckon they're both on high wages. So I don't think selling or letting Hutchison go for nothing is necessarily the right answer, although I take your point that there's no point in keeping him if you're never going to use him as well. But certainly we have to have probably five senior centre-backs or five experienced centre-backs, I would think, because you need cover, just like for what happened on Saturday. You don't want to be able to put in a right-footed centre-back at left centre-back, or you don't want to be moving people all over the place. You want to have maybe one left-footed centre-back and one right-footed centre-back who can come in case of injury or suspension. So I actually was in the orange band on this one. I said we should actually take up his option, but, you know, with a view to selling him if we don't think we need him. So basically sitting on the fence, and I know, you know, sitting on the fence is a terrible thing. You get splinters in your bum and everything else, but sitting on the fence is maybe the right thing to do here, because if you can keep him and offload Stearman and Bodiroff, you have cover. And I don't think, I don't think he's going to be a starter. I don't think you could basically be a starter. But again, you always need able reserves for a game or two. And I don't think he's that awful that he couldn't come in for a game or two. Are we going to be in a situation where we can completely buy a whole new squad that is better than what we have now? I don't think we can. Well, maybe financially we can, but it'll probably backfire and we'll be FFP'd for years afterwards. So I don't think it's as cut and dried with Hutchison as you suggest. Between him and Stearman, I don't see a lot in it personally. So I'd say sell Stearman because we could get money for him and keep Hutchison because he'll cost us less.
Okay, David, that's actually a very interesting way to put it. And Mike, I'm going to go back to you. What do you make of David's assessment of the situation, looking at the financial ramifications of it?
Well, David's quite right as well, and this kind of a discussion came up on Friends of Fulham last week, and they're all saying, you know, get rid of them all, get everyone back, and or get a load of new players. And I said, you've got to be realistic. You know, in a squad, I mean, we've used, I think, the third most players in the Championship. I think we've used 33, 34 players, something silly. But really, if you're going to be at the top of the table, you want to be working with a squad or using somewhere about 25, 27 players. So that's the kind of size squad you need. And so, you know, if you're going to go with three centre-backs, you need at least two more you can rely on to come straight into the side for suspensions and injuries, if that's going to be the plan. And, you know, it's the old thing about having the, you know, two men for each position. So, you know, argue you need six. But, it makes sense. But you can't have 25 great players. You're always going to have, in a Championship, you're going to have a good 11, 12, 13 players, and then the rest of the squad. And, you know, people...
Squad players.
Yeah, we get to people like Kaká and that. And... You know, it's just get rid of him, he's rubbish and all that. But he's a useful squad player. He's not, he's not that rubbish that he's, you should just dump him. And you're just not going to have two great left wingers next year or two great defensive midfielders. It just doesn't work like that. You have one good player and you have a replacement. That's why they're a replacement. So, it's about balance. I can see the argument of keeping Hutchison above Stearman. I mean, if it was a purely a sort of player versus player matchup, which is something I might do another time, I would probably vote for Hutchison over Stearman. But you can't go into the next season changing the whole back line. I mean, potentially you could be looking at all those centre backs, none of them playing this year, all being sold, you know, but that means you've got to go out and buy five centre-backs. Yeah, that ain't going to happen, is it? So,
no.
So, yeah, it's a balance. It's a balance of the squad. And when we get to the end of this discussion, we'll talk about the numbers which have, the fans have said keep and potentially how many players we have to go out and buy.
Okay, very good there, Mike. And why don't we move on? And just to clarify, because, again, we're talking about basically the centre-back position, and I screwed up because here I am talking about the normal setup of having two centre-backs, but, of course, we've played a great deal with three centre-backs. So that kind of changes things, and you also have to factor in the financial. That's what makes this whole situation with Sean Hutchinson interesting, because I don't know which way the club is going to go with it and how many changes they're going to make with the centre-backs that they have. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the third part of the poll. The following players are out of contract. Do you offer them a new one? I have not included Hyman and Dembele. Let's be honest, that's not going to happen. So, Mike, why don't you go through this part of the poll and share the results with us?
I mean, it's self-explanatory. Hyman and Dembele, I think if I put it on there, you know, it would have been a high 80, 90% sort of, yeah, we want to keep them. But we know they're not going to sign a contract, so that's why I left them out. Okay, so it was an interesting one. So the players who are senior players, shall we say, who are out of contract are Burn, Jomren, Parker, O'Hara, and Kaká. And so Burn being probably the most high-profile, contentious one, I should say, he actually got 80% of the vote, which, you know, was probably higher than I expected. And it will be, I'd certainly want him to sign a new contract. And when you, let's be honest, when you're having teams rumoured to be interested in him, like Stoke, I mean, he's been linked with Sheffield United, admittedly, you know, in a division below. But football people know what he offers. And yes, he made mistakes on Saturday and in other games as well. I think one of the lessons from Saturday is we've seen now where he plays best, which is dead centre in the middle of the pitch, pretty much. The further he goes left, his whole body shape gets wrong and he starts making mistakes. And I'm trying to write an article up about it, but it's proven a bit difficult. But it's definitely the further left he goes, oddly, being a left-footed player, he finds it more awkward to play. And so, you know, if we're going to play with three centre-backs, he needs to be in the centre of it all. And then Jean-Marie's a goalkeeper who's been injured, but we've already spoken about the fact we've got two main goalkeepers. But, you know, at 22, I think he's worth another decent contract to get him out on loan. And then Parker was a 55 to 45% keep, which surprised me. You know, let's be honest, he's 35. He's having a little bit of an Indian summer in a few games. But do you want to sign a player who's basically only going to play once a week, so 23 games at most next year? He's on a decent wage. Would he take a massive pay cut to keep playing, or is he more interested in coaching? Jamie O'Hara was the closest we had to a coin toss. He was 49% don't offer him a new contract. And then Kaká was 42% about offering a new contract. So, you know, they're very close. People are not sure. It's a, you know, real split. But so out of that, if you use the 50% rule, three of those players you keep and two of them you say, thanks very much, but we're going to look elsewhere.
Very interesting. Mike, I got to be honest with you. The one that surprised me is Jamie O'Hara. I thought Jamie O'Hara would be higher, but it shows that the Fulham supporters are really split on him. I think that you need to bring him back. I think he's someone that still has something left to offer, and I disagree with it being right down the middle. I say you offer him a new deal if you can get him at a decent wage. I think you bring back Jamie O'Hara. That's my thoughts on it, Mike. Before I go to David, were you surprised by O'Hara, or do you think that's where it should be?
No, the tide, it's weird about O'Hara. When we signed him, lots of people were quite negative about him and saying, oh, he's not going to play many games. He'll be a sub. He'll be lucky if he plays a dozen games. And then he started the season really as probably our best player, certainly. And it slowly it declined, and he peaked up a little bit recently. But again, when the team has played badly, he's played badly as well. But likewise, when he's played well, we've done really good. So I think it could almost be a you've got Parker and O'Hara there. I think it's one or the other. So it's similar to the old, probably the Sidwell question. Do you keep both of them, two experienced players next year, or just go for one of them? Personally, I'd go for O'Hara, being the younger, more creative of the players. And I think Parker will find it harder and harder to throw his body around. And it was an interesting, not a tweet, an Instagram from O'Hara, who likes to do that, where he said he'd enjoyed the season, I think, last week. And he said he'd played over 30 games, more than he ever expected. So, there's a player who probably doesn't expect to play every game. And so, would be a useful match day squad player for us next year. So, yeah, I would keep him.
See, I really would, too. That's why I was surprised by this poll. But, everyone's entitled to their opinion. Basically, the fans are split on O'Hara. And very good point, going back to the Sidwell argument, Parker and O'Hara. That's very interesting. David, what are your thoughts about this part of the poll?
Well, I actually thought that everybody in this part of the poll, they were higher than I expected, with the exception of Jamie O'Hara, who was lower. I didn't expect Dan Byrne to be such a resounding over 80% for Dan Byrne, and that's not because I've got anything against him, but I just thought he's a player that splits opinion, so I expected to see a more split opinion with him. I do have a theory. I've been thinking about this theory about why he plays better or he does, because if you remember, he's actually played at right centre-back as part of a two as well, and he didn't do so badly there at all at right centre-back, surprisingly. But as he went left, you're right. And I liken it to a left-handed tennis player playing doubles, if you think about it. If a left-handed tennis player plays double, if he plays on the left-hand court, he's strong on the left, but down the middle, he's very weak on his right hand, on his backhand. But if he plays on the right, he's very strong down the middle, on his forehand.
That makes sense.
If you can get that analogy, if you can picture
that. Yes, I do.
So, maybe he's actually better to play slightly right than left if he can't play centre. But that's another issue anyway. But no, Dan Byrne, I do agree that he shows the characteristics that you want from a player. Yes, he does make mistakes. They all make mistakes, though. Dan Byrne probably gets more blame than some do occasionally. But I agree with Dan Byrne certainly being one that you should offer a new deal to. As for the rest, apart from Jamie O'Hara, I'm not so sure. O'Hara, certainly, I think, I would imagine he's not on a big wage, because he's come here cap in hand almost and said, give us a contract. So
right.
I don't think, he's then said to us, actually, well, I want 50 grand a week, though. So although he was like a free transfer, and free transfers tend to get better wages, I don't think he's on a big wage. He's not that old. He has been, probably in at least half the games he's played, one of our better players, probably. Not saying he's been man of the match, but, he had a bit of a dip, and then he's come back a little bit again. So I think at least half the games he's been involved with. And I like his commitment and everything. Scott Parker, I would love to keep him, but I'm not sure, unless obviously he would take a massive wage cut, because he's on probably the highest wages of anyone. I don't think it would be good business to re-sign him, much as I think he's fantastic and has been fantastic. So I kind of agree what Mike was saying there. It's one or the other. And I think if you had to pick one, it would be O'Hara.
Yeah.
Joranen, I'm very split on Joranen, because I don't see a future for him at the moment. I think Bettinelli, if he's recovered from this and can continue to progress, would be our first choice. And Lonergan is an able deputy, most certainly. So Joranen would, unfortunately, have to go out on loan again. And I'm not sure whether Joranen would want that himself, or whether he'd actually say, well, no, let me go now. We haven't seen enough of him to make the decision of whether he's, the future or not. But as Mike and as I said, I mean, Magnus Norman is meant to be very good, Mike, isn't he, among others?
I was just about to mention
we have other
that,
people
David.
As well. Yeah. So the thing is, you know, that's the thing, Magnus Norman. If he's as good as, I can't remember who said it. I think it was Scott Townfield said it, Mike, wasn't it? He said he's got everything.
Well, Mike said it as well, David. Mike is very high on Magnus Norman.
So if that's the case, really, Magnus Norman is the one knocking on the door for that third spot. So where does that leave Joranen? Maybe it's only fair to Joranen, you know, if we're not planning on using him in the future, then maybe it's time to let him go. I don't know. I mean, I've got nothing against him whatsoever, but I just don't see how he quite kind of is going to get any regular game time. Sparker, I've already covered. O'Hara. Kaká, not surprised to see him there, unfortunately. Much as I like him, it's always been fits and starts with him. You know, he's obviously got talent, but he's also very frustrating at times. You know, just wanting to put his head down and run. And on a few occasions he's put his head down and run, he's got pace and he can do stuff. But too often it's stop and start and hesitation with him. And again, I would imagine he's on a reasonable wage. On the other side of the coin, you know, this is almost the Hutchison question. Maybe we should just re-sign him on the basis of selling him and getting something for him. But I'm sure someone out there would be prepared to pay a reasonable fee for him rather than just let him go for absolutely nothing. So I would be tempted to say, you know, offer him a contract, but with a view to getting rid of him and seeing what we can get for him, rather than just let him walk away for free.
No, that makes sense, David, actually. Very, very good. All right, to finish off the poll, Mike, I'm going to go right back to you. The fourth part was, which of the following loan players would you like at Fulham next season? And you list all of them. The one, Mike, that I really am curious about, not really with the poll, but just as a player, because we really have not seen him, and I've not heard any news. I don't know if you've heard any news. What has happened to Rohan Ince? I really want to know what's going on there. Maybe you have some information. But go through the results of this part of the poll, Mike.
Yeah, okay, so the question, which of the following loan players? I should have put current loan players, because I did have a couple of people come back and say, where's husband? But, you know, and also, comments about Labyard and Ince, we haven't really seen them. And, you know, Ince, some people say he's injured, others say he's not being picked, so he's not fit enough yet. So really, you know, without the club saying anything, no one really knows. But, I mean, for Ince, for people who want to see him next year, it's 52%. Some people said, how do they even know? But if you've watched Brighton or seen him when he's younger, you know what he offers. And even in the short time he's appeared, you can see partly what he can offer. So, you know, I think he knows the division as well. So worth persevering with. And so I'd be comfortable seeing him come back next year. Baird was 45%. Tried to sign him, 54% say no, thanks. And I think again, if I'd done this last week after his first game, it would have probably been in the 70s. But I mean, you know, he is 33. But again, this goes back. I think this all goes back to Parker, O'Hara, Baird. Do you only have one of those three if you're going to keep any, or do you have two of them? But I think Baird, you know, he won't be. He's only turned 30. He turned 33 or 34 this week. You know, he's got another season in him. And certainly as a utility player, I think he would be worth keeping. Labyard, no one's really seen him that much. You know, he had a little cameo the other day. 35% say yes, try to sign him. 64% say no. I think it's a bit unfair on him. I mean, I've never seen him until he's played for us. I'm not overly impressed by what I've seen, but, you know, let's reevaluate at the end of the season. Garbutt? Garbutt. 72% say no. So that's thanks. Back to Everton and go out on loan again somewhere. I think we'll be looking to buy a husband, I suspect. And then Lewis, you know, he's played a couple of games. And yeah, I thought he did okay. But we've spoken about it. We've got loads of goalkeepers. We don't need another one. And 93% say no thanks, or thanks but no thanks, really. And the last one I'm going to mention is Medel, who really has, you know, 97% say yes.
Look at that,
sign.
Mike. That is unbelievable. 97.61%.
Yeah, it's just overwhelming, isn't it? I mean, you've got to go back to you've got to go back and look at Kearney and McCormick, really, to even match those kind of numbers. So that's the kind of impact he's had with the fans, even though, you know, we've had a couple of bad defeats while he's been playing. But as I've seen, what's he played now, five games? He's a proper defender. I said that quite early on. I've seen nothing to change my mind about it. And I hope we take the option up, apparently, that we have to buy him, because I think it'd be very useful for us next season. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah, so do I, Mike. It's funny, because when I think of Mattel, you know, he's just someone that gives you 100%. And like you said, a proper defender. And I think that the club needs to pick up that option. And I really do hope that he's back. All right, David, over to you. What do you make of these results of the lone players?
No real surprises there. I hope we're not going too overboard with Maddow. I agree that he looks like he is the real deal and someone we need, but we haven't seen that much of him yet. And as Mike said, he's still been involved with a couple of defeats, but I certainly think on what I've seen so far, I would like to keep him. It's kind of right down the middle, which is about fair, really, because we've been tantalised and seen a little bit of him and think, yeah, that's what we need. But then either he's not wanted, or I believe he is actually injured. So I'm hoping he's not one of these players that spends more time injured than fit, because that's not what we need at all. Baird, yeah, I think you're right on what you said, that had it been last week, he probably would have got a higher vote. And yes, he is 34 now, so we've got to be careful about these things. But if we can afford him and a space, as long as he's not under any pretension that he's going to play every week, he's worth keeping because of his versatility, if nothing else, but also his experience and his organisation skills. So I think if Parker doesn't stay, or Parker doesn't stay as a player anyway, it probably heightens the chance of Baird staying. Obviously, if O'Hara and Parker don't stay, it would heighten the chance of Baird staying even more, I would imagine. So I think I would like to see him, despite the fact that the vote is slightly negative on Baird. Labiad, again, really, it should be 50-50 because we haven't seen much of him, but my gut feeling is that he's not that good from what I saw on Saturday, really. He did nothing to impress me at all. And I know it's too early to say so, but I do kind of get this feeling about players quite early on. You know what I'm like. Everyone was raving about
Tim
Ream.
Yes, I do know what you're like, David.
You know, people were raving about Tim Ream and Stearman, and I was sort of like saying, I don't think they're that good, really. I go with my gut feeling. You know, whether I'm right or wrong, I don't know, but my gut serves me quite well usually. And with Labiad, it just didn't impress me on Saturday at all. Garbett, I think it's pretty clear that I don't think we'd try and sign him anyway. That's not part of the deal. It was a loan to give him experience. It wasn't a loan with a view to signing him. And although he's filled in and done a role, I think there are much better people who can play there. Husband being one of them, obviously, if we could sign him. And finally, Lewis. Yeah, we've covered that already. We're struggling with Joranen, who's maybe as good as Lewis, if not better, potentially. And so if we're struggling to get Joranen in, we don't need Lewis as well. He's come in and stepped up a few times. He's probably played more than he might have imagined to, but not good enough overall. Can do better. So thank you very much, but goodbye for Lewis.
Okay, very good there, David. And Mike, before I go back to you, that we could wrap this situation up, I know that you wanted to mention something at the very end. I just want to share my thoughts on Chris Baird. Chris Baird is a player that I always liked at Fulham. I still like him at Fulham. He is 34 years old. He would be turning 35 about this time next year. So for me, I agree with you guys. If Parker doesn't come back and O'Hara doesn't come back, I think you definitely look at bringing back Chris Baird. I'm on the fence if it's going to be Baird and O'Hara. For me, it's more important to bring O'Hara back. If he does not come back, then I think you should really look to bring back Baird. But I don't know if you bring them both back. That's what's interesting about this. I'm on the fence on that. Let's see how it all plays out. And also on Rohan Inside, I'm going to wait until the end of the season before I make a judgment on him. He's someone that that I think could potentially have a role with Fulham. All right, Mike, we got about 5 minutes left. Did you have some data you wanted to share at the end?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, the whole idea of this really was to talk about, you know, who the fans want to keep and let go and what kind of changes. You know, there's going to be massive changes in the summer. We're going to have to do this. Well, there's 33 players listed here across the four questions, and we are only keeping 33 players, and we're only keeping 17. And I've already mentioned, you know, if you use the 50% rule, so any you know, 50% plus, keep them. And I said about having the size of squad. So what do you want? Do you want 25? Do you need 27? Do you need 30? So if you're only keeping 17, you're already looking that in the summer we're going to have 10 coming in. If all these, you know, and another dozen leaving, you know, to make space. So it's going to be a huge, you know, potentially a huge turnover, because if we're looking to be in the top six and you go through these names of players, you know, we do need some quality, half a dozen really top players come in and another half a dozen really good squad players come in. Yeah, and so, you know, that's what I found interesting was, you know, you're basically cutting the squad in half. And you need to replace it, maybe not with a, you know, the same number. I think we need a slightly smaller, tighter squad with less players going out on loan and less loanees coming in. That's what I would like. I think a team, I don't know if Dave agrees, but I always think teams do better if they're a much more tight unit and you don't have all these different groups all around. So I'd like to see a nice squad of about 27, 28 next year, hardcore, and all working for the same thing. So that's all I wanted to say. The other thing was, just to anyone listening who took part, is thanks for taking part. If you want to look at the results, we're at vivaelfulham.co.uk, and I'm sure I'll run another one closer to the end of the season. And the last thing is just, again, touch on the size of the squad. We spoke about the youngsters last week. There's no one else really apart from Jordan Evans who I can see making any kind of step into the squad. You know, Davis is good, Humphreys is good, but they're not ready. So the players listed here are the ones you need to take note of. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay, very good. And I would highly recommend everyone going to Viva El Fulham. Check out the website. I go there all the time. It's a wonderful website. And I'm glad, Mike, that you could do this poll on behalf of this wonderful website. David, we've got about a minute and a half left. Any final thoughts about the show?
No, just thanks for having me on and to give a chance just to see if any different opinions to what you or Mike had. But thanks, Mike, as always. I did actually tweet it out earlier as well, Mike. Thanks for your efforts in doing all these polls. It's very interesting to see, you know, what everyone thinks. And thanks for those who take part. Obviously, the more that take part, the more accurate and reflective these polls are, of course.
Absolutely, David. And Mike, before we go, major thank you to you for one, doing this poll, and two, both of you for doing this show today on short notice. But really, Mike, thank you very much, because I really, when I saw your poll, I'm like, you know what, I really want to do a show about the poll because I found it very interesting. So I want to thank you personally.
Oh, it's okay. Thanks. You know, I enjoy doing them, and we've got a hardcore people who take part, and but they're a bit of fun. People just have to understand that's all they are. There's nothing, you know, too serious about them. But it's a good discussion point. That in a quiet week, we moan about too many games. There's no games for Saturday. We're all bored out of our heads already, aren't we? So, thanks for doing the show, short notice. And we move on to the next one whenever that is.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Great show. Great show, Mike. Great show, David. But it's time to go. For Mike and David, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys. Have a great night.
Cheers. See you, Russ. See you, Mike. Cheers. Bye-bye.